You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, I've got a word today that's going to challenge you, change you, and if you apply it, it will take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Everybody and anybody can change if they allow the Word of God to become an integral part of their lives. When you allow the Word of God to become an integral part of your life, by its very nature, it will start to change you. This Word has got healing power. It's got deliverance power. It's got sanctification power. This Word is Jesus Christ Himself. When you give the Word of God the rightful place in your heart, by its very nature, it will start to change you. Jesus shared this secret with his disciples in John 14:10, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." He says, when I came to this earth to become a man, the Father is in me and I'm in him. This is the secret for us, for successful living, is the Word in us. And we in the Word. If you want lasting results, your life to change, and the change to remain, you need the Word of God in your life because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot be fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace. Thank you, Lord, even as I share the Word today, that you will touch hearts, open hearts to receive your Word. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Lord, and change us from the inside out. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Help us to be one with a difference, O Lord. And we give you praise for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. When we look at John 15, we can see that when God is your source, you cannot fail. The Word of God cannot fail. If the Word of God will fail, it means God is failing. And that's impossible. So when you are in the Word and the Word is in you, you can know what the end result will be. This Word is like a hammer. If it's a rock, a hard situation that's coming against you, the Bible says the Word is like a rock. Pa, pa, pa. It's like a fire that will go before you and consume your enemies round and about. Sometimes the Word is like a fire burning out things which is not of God. But it's working in us and through us. One word from God is enough to bring change in your life. You know, you have to give your testimony and share your testimony. My daughter, Hope, you know her. She was singing here. But we couldn't have children. And it was one word that the Lord gave from Romans, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, and he became the father of many nations. When I read that, it just stood out. And the Lord said to me, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, and became the father of hope. He said, you'll be a father. Your firstborn will be a little girl, and you should call her Hope. So one word, one verse is enough. Mustard seed faith. It's got enough light and life in it to expel all shades of darkness and send your life in a new direction. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So also will be the word that I speak. It does not return to me unfulfilled. My word performs my purpose and fulfills the mission I send it out to accomplish." That's the Passion Translation. The Word of God, when it goes out, it will do what it's supposed to do. Because it's not just words that you are speaking. The Word is Jesus Himself. The Word became flesh and manifested. And we could see its glory. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For all of God's promises find their yes and fulfillment in Him. And as His yes and our amen ascends to God, we bring Him glory." When God says, yes, it's going to be, we say, amen, let it be. And that gives glory to God. Can you see the importance to have the Word of God on the inside of you? When a word has been spoken, it cannot return back void. When you have a promise from God, hold on to it and confess it. Turn to the person next to you, smile at them and say, do you have a promise from God? Now tell them, if you have a promise, you can know it's going to be okay. Do you know what's been promised to you? Do you know what greatness is locked up on the inside of you? You know, this is like an agreement. When God says it, it will be. Even when you're unfaithful, He remains faithful. So it's very important that we spend time in the Word of God. Because when you spend time in the Word of God, you are spending time with Jesus. Time in the Word is time with Jesus. When you're reading this, you think you're reading it, but it's reading you. Hebrews 4:12 says it's got the ability to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. It will show you what's going on here. Because this thing can very easily deceive you, lie to you, but this will never lie to you. This is why you have to allow this to discern the intents and the thoughts of what's going on here. This word is spirit and life. If you're just reading letters, it cannot bring life. You need the Holy Spirit to affect what you are reading, to bring revelation of Jesus Christ to you. Many people read the word and they know this as history. They can quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but they don't have revelation of Jesus Christ, His Spirit and His life. You can read this, you can know this. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But do you know that He's your shepherd? Are you really one of His sheep? We serve God too often from here and not from here. You know, I was reading some quotes of St. Francis of Assisi this week. And he said, let's preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. He says, let's preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. Can I read a scripture that opened this up to me? 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3. It says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Another translation says, clearly, you are a letter from Christ. Do you know what that means? When people look at you, they can see that you're a letter from Christ. That means that the sons of God are being revealed. What does it mean that the sons of God are being revealed? It means that people can see the righteousness of God in your life. They can see the kingdom of God manifesting in your life. Sons of God being revealed, daughters of God being revealed. The Bible says all of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. In an unrighteous world, everybody is waiting for people to act in righteousness. Turn to the person next to you and say, will you be that letter from Christ? When you align yourself with the Word of God, and you abide in the Word, and the Word abides in you, you've become an epistle from Christ. You've become a letter from Christ. Because the Word of God abides in you, people are busy reading you. When we talk about Christianity, when we talk about the Word of God abiding in us, can you see the importance of the Word in our lives? Francis of Assisi said, another quote of his, he says, start doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. Who of you would like to see unusual miracles taking place around you? Start doing the small one thing that God asks of you. Faith without works is dead. So start doing just that one thing. When you read this and it speaks to you, obey immediately. When you're offended with a brother and the Bible says forgive, don't say, oh yes, I must share this with John. Or yeah, this is a good message for Tabu. I'll tell him tomorrow at work. No. When God speaks to you from the word, act immediately. Because faith without works is dead. Abraham had a promise from God. And that promise on the inside was so alive that even after he had received the promise, when God said, go and sacrifice your son, your only son, the one whom you love, the Bible says immediately the next morning he went and he did it. He said, let's go. And the Bible says that was accounted to him as righteousness. So when you obey the word of God, when you obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit will affect it. It's not just reading it and saying it, but obeying it. So that the righteousness of God can start to work in you and with you and through you. I hope I'm helping some of you here. When Abraham believed, the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness. This whole gospel is about righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Not our self-righteousness, but when we are positioned in Christ Jesus, when the word of God dominates our hearts. When Abraham obeyed the word of God to even sacrifice that which he loved dearly, which his legacy, his testimony, everything depended upon. When he obeyed in that way, his faith not just words and saying, God, I love you, but doing it, it was accounted to him as righteousness. His whole life has become a letter for you and for me. When we go out into the world, people need to see that my life is a letter from Christ. How do you see that? How do you see that? The Bible says Abraham, before he had received the promise, he was giving thanks to God. Before he had received the promise, counting him faithful, knowing that he was able to do it, he started giving thanks. He said, thank you, Jesus, for my son. Thank you, Lord, for the promise. I know that you are faithful. I know that you are true. And he held on to his confession, not changing it. This is when the sons and daughters of God are revealed. Thank you, Jesus, is a response from a grateful heart. Even when you've not received the promise that he has given you, but you're saying, thank you that you are faithful. Abraham's obedience teaches us that the only proof of my faith is my obedience. And faith is the only thing that pleases God. Can you see how much we need the word of God in our hearts? How much we need the word of God in us? What comes out of your heart when you're going through a challenging time? Christ lives in us through his word. This. When you are spending time in it and you receive this word with meekness, is what James 1:21 says. When you receive this word with meekness into your heart, it's able to change your way of thinking. While you are still waiting for the promise and you are holding on to this word, the Bible says what you need to do is you need to give thanks. Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Sometimes when you're going through a tough time, while you're still holding on to the promise, train this heart to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for South Africa. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised that this country belongs to you. Thank you, Lord, that you've said revival will start here and from here go up to Africa. Amen. God wants everybody to get saved. Amen. Everybody. But if we don't have the Word of God on the inside of us, what will we be declaring? If we are Christians, the Bible says the Word of God should dwell richly on the inside of us. When it dwells richly on the inside of us, we will declare what the Word of God says and not what we want. You know, I love Joshua. Joshua went into the promised land. He had to wait 40 years for the promise. The Bible says through faith and patience, they inherited the promise. Didn't give up. Didn't change their confession. But you know what God said to him? He said to him, Joshua, if you want to go into this land and you want to go possess this land, if you've got a promise that you have to possess, he says, here's the advice that I want to give you. Meditate in the Word of God, because meditation brings revelation. Joshua 1 verse 8, he says, meditate in the Word of God. He says, this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Do you read the Word as much as what you're on Instagram? Are you flipping the pages in this book as much as what you're flipping through Facebook? Because maybe you're not a Christian, then maybe you're a Facebooker then. Or you're an Instagrammer, that's your identity. Because if you want to be a Christian, you have to spend more time in this to dominate your heart than in negative news. It's not just confessing it. Yes, I have a Bible, I'm a Christian. No. Is this Bible in you and you on it? Because otherwise, you're not being real. You're being something on the outside, but you're not that on the inside. Anybody can declare the Word of God. All of us have seen the positive attitude talks where they tell you, remember, the glass is half full, not half empty. You can say the glass is half full. If you're half empty on the inside, you're empty. Then you need to get it full. When people come for prayer and they say, please pray for me, my spiritual life is down, I want it to get up to a new level. I say, I'll pray for you, no problem. But how much Bible are you reading? I'm not reading Bible. I say, that's your problem. I said, if you want your spiritual life to go to a new level, you have to spend time in this, which is spirit and life. The Bible says about Peter and John in the book of Acts, they knew that they were uneducated. But they perceived through their wisdom and their knowledge and their understanding that they had spent time with Jesus. When you are in the Word, you are spending time with Jesus. And God said to Joshua, if you want to go and possess your promises, meditate in this Word day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Say it with your mouth. Family, listen to me. Anybody can say the Word of God. But you need the Holy Spirit to affect what you are saying to bring change. He says, say it and then do it. Obey. Observe to do. Then I'm going to make your ways very prosperous and successful. I almost want to say to you, if you want to follow the Christian route, then make the Word of God the standard for your life. If you want God to bless you as the giver of light and life, choose who you want to serve. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to serve Him, then don't serve Him. But don't mix the two. Because it does not please God. Because if you say, I'm trusting God and I'm trusting this, you're double-hearted, double-minded. A Christian's confession must have his heart's full agreement for faith to be released. Otherwise, it's not faith. So people are confessing, 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 and praying, and praying, praying. But if it does not have your heart's full agreement, the Holy Spirit will not affect it. Christianity is not for those who confess it, it's for those who believe it. Righteousness is not for those who say it, it's those who believe it. You believe in your heart unto righteousness. Not your righteousness, not your self-righteousness, His righteousness. That's why God can use somebody like me. Because I put my trust in Him to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Manifest your strength in my weakness. God chooses grace rather than work so that no man should boast, so that there can be hope for people like me. That I can come and stand here and preach and say, God, help me. And I know the Holy Spirit will touch your heart, minister to your heart, and the word will cut into your heart and discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart to show what is wrong and what is right. It's not of the letter. It is of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Every day, pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Touch my heart, change my heart to do your will now and forever. When you open this Bible and you start to read, Spirit of the living God, help me bring revelation and understanding of what I'm reading. This word is pure and it's holy. It has salvation power. Deliverance power, healing power, restoration power. Sanctification power to cleanse your mind. This word has got so much power and light and life in it. Moses said, I'm not going into the promised land unless the Holy Spirit goes before me. Unless your Spirit goes before me, your Spirit of light and life. Many people today pray without the help of the Holy Spirit. But Romans 8 says, if you really want to pray effectively, you need the help of the Holy Spirit to lead you even in your prayers. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do when you start praying? When you start praying, the Holy Spirit will say, go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. If fear grips your heart, you say, Holy Spirit, help me. Start to confess, the Lord is the light of my salvation. I shall not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Declare the word of God into that situation and you don't back off. You keep your solid front. And he said to Joshua, when you go in, meditate upon the word of God. Giants are big, but God is bigger than giants. The walls are high, but God is bigger than the walls. Walls can come down. High walls come down harder. And you declare the word of God. When the enemy says, you're going to go under, you say, no, I'm going over. Say, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. And you hold on to that promise and you declare it over and over and over. We are here to be Christians, to be a holy people without spot and wrinkle. Holy people. Turn to the person that you say, holy people. There's holiness only in one way. This is through this word of God. When the word of God dominates your heart, it gives you confidence towards God. Listen to me. 1 John says that when your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your heart. So the devil will come and condemn you, but God is greater than that. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says, such confidence we have through Christ towards God. What does it mean? It says, through Christ Jesus, who is the Word. Because we know this, that our Father loves us, that Jesus died for us, that His blood covers us, that our sins are forgiven, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we make a mistake and we confess it. Because we know that, we have confidence towards our Father. You don't have to run away from God, you run to God. When you know this, you have confidence towards God. Turn to the person next to you and say, have confidence towards God. You know what the Bible says? Even if you make a mistake, even if you make a mistake, 1 John says, if you make a mistake, don't worry, you've got an advocate. I'm giving you my narrative. He says, don't worry if you make a mistake, you've got an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's standing before you, for you, before the Father. And any accusation that wants to come against you, He's the one who paid the price in full. Will you acknowledge Him? That's the truth. When you know that, you have confidence towards God to run to Him in any situation and say, help me, help me, help me. The Amplified Bible, just put the Amplified up. I want to put that. Such is the reliance and confidence that we have through Christ towards God. God, or with reference to God. That's what the Amplified says. Confidence towards God. But let me get away. God is God for me. No. God is for you. He came to this earth for this very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The biggest challenge that Christians face right now, they're tempting the devil. Go read Matthew 5. The devil tempted Jesus. Jesus never tempted the devil. Turn to the person next to you and say, stop tempting the devil. What I mean by that, you look at things that you shouldn't look at. You're on this and it shows R-rated and you say, but I'm 21. Stop tempting the devil. Stop tempting the devil. Stay away from things that's taking you away from God. The word of God on the inside of us, when it starts to dominate your heart, by its very nature, it will start to change you. It will change your way of thinking, your way of speaking, and your way of doing things. I'm going to close with this scripture. And when I read it this week, I said, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. You know, let me just say this. Our sufficiency does not come from ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God. This word, who's made us ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. So when we share the word, it's not to condemn people, to make them feel guilty, but as to give them hope. It doesn't matter what sin you are bound in, this word can set you free. Doesn't matter what addiction, this will set you free. Doesn't matter what the world has written over you, it's what God has said about you. You can go read the book of Lamentations 3. People can say what they want to. If God does not approve it, it means nothing. This is the ultimate authority. It's His word living in you that makes you sufficient. Suddenly now you can walk up to people and you can pray for them. Suddenly you can be a Peter and you walk past people and your shadow is healing them. You can be a Paul where handkerchiefs, you have the grace for a handkerchief that falls upon people and they can get healed. Not because of you, but because of what God is doing. I want to close with one scripture in the book of Psalms, 18 verse 35. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And His ways are not our ways. The world's way for you to get to the top, you have to be the boss. You have to be harsh and you have to be rude and you have to put people on their place. Some of us have dads like that. Some of us have bosses like that. Some of us have teachers like that. I mean, it doesn't matter where. But look at what Psalm 18:35 says. David says, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Who's the shield of our salvation? The helmet of salvation is Jesus Christ Himself. The word in us. He says, you have given me your word for salvation. It's a shield. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. Your gentleness has made me great. Can I tell you something? To be a gentle man, you need the word of God on the inside of you. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Here the word says, your gentleness has made me great. Gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need more gentle fathers. We need more gentle drivers on our roads. We need more gentle teachers. Gentle pastors. Gentle mothers? Amen. How's that going to happen? By the word, through the working of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the word of God into your heart with meekness, by its very nature, it's going to start to change you. And when you are a rude, nasty, you'll now be a gentle one. Amen. Where you were rude and short with people, now your words will start to be gentle. Do you still want this word to come into your heart? Because by its very nature, it will change you to the nature of Jesus Christ. To have the nature of Jesus was a gentleman. When He walked this earth, He was gentle. When a woman was caught in the act of adultery, he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Gentle, giving hope. May the word of God make us more gentle, so that we will be epistles, letters to this nation from Christ Jesus. That when they look at us, the way we talk, the way we drive, the way we park, the way we greet, the way we preach, that they can say they've spent time with Jesus. There's a gentleness that only comes through the word and by the help of the Holy Spirit to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit of gentleness. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.